Thank you for the invitation. I'd like to speak about a subject which is very large. And to explain just a few things about it. So it starts like that. You have X, an algebraic variety, a scheme, and a self-map from X to X defined over a field K. And the dynamics is the self-map, and the algebraic is something about the field. Essentially, we would like the field to be a number field, or a function field, but of course we have to go to different things, so we can take algebraically closed from time to time. And we will impose that phi is polarized. That means X will be surprojective. We'll have an ample line bundle on X. And that's too low, okay. How do you make those things move? This one doesn't move, I see. I got caught, okay. So X is projective, L is ample, and Q is an integer usually bigger than 1. And you impose phi upper star of L is LQ. So best example is like a self-map from P1 to P1, right? Phi is given by two polynomials, say PQ, homogeneous, degree D, with no common root. Over the algebraic closure of the field, whatever is the field, right? Degree D, and in this case, D will be equal to Q. In general, one can establish a lemma that under good conditions, you have that the degree phi is a finite map, and the degree of phi is equal to q to the power dimension of it. This already gives you as a corollary that the fixed point of such a map are isolated. Right, so there are a few theorems, basic theorems of Fakhruddin. Oh, is there two K's? Someone knows? No,
here. And H. Object.
Ah, that I knew there was something. Sorry. Theorem of Fakhruddin is essentially such a map comes from projective space. And the way Fakhruddin stated it is that there exists an embedding of X into Pn where phi extends to phi a self-map of Pn. We can make a variation maybe. So I extend the same phi here as a map of Pn. I could variation if you choose for any, I mean, x in Pn where the polarization is the rho of 1, phi r extends to the same Pn. This is sort of useful from time to time, not to have to change the embedding. In Fakhruddin, you have to choose the embedding to do it. Here we take the embedding given essentially by the polarization. Polarization to a certain power is all one. Right, so I should have described like I described for P1. A self-map phi from Pn to Pn, right, is given by n plus 1 polynomial Pi of degree d, right, and we have no common zero. That means the resultant of the Pi's. So the important thing for when you have a self-map of a variety like that, the important thing in which you hope is going to control the whole situation is the pre-periodic point. Pre-periodic points, that means they have finite orbits. That means phi n of x is equal to phi n plus n of x for some. The n has nothing to do. Some integers m and n. Right, so they're the fixed points, that means phi n of x is a fixed point of phi n. So the second theorem of Fakhruddin is that in such a situation with q bigger or equal to 2, even the periodic points. Periodic points are dense. Okay, bar. Something you know before you even look at the proof is that if you don't look at periodic points, but if you look at pre-periodic points, and if your field is finite, or the algebraic closure of a finite field, then you know this theorem, right? Every point over a finite field is pre-periodic for any map. actually that's our Fakhruddin proves that he reduces to characteristic P, but he proves that periodic points are dense in characteristic P, which doesn't have a trivial proof. Actually, you have to use some work of Grushovsky so far to prove it. So I think it's a nice place to state a conjecture of Shou-Zhang. Which is called the Manin-Mumford. I guess the dynamical Manin-Mumford conjecture. And it says that if you have a subvariety in X and three periodic points of X, right, the three periodic points of X intersect on Y are dense, then Y is three periodic. This is conjectural, but if you apply it for abelian varieties, if X is an abelian variety, it is the Manin-Mumford conjecture, so it's proved. So it's proved by Renault and then other people. So it's a little exercise of the mind to see that the usual Manin-Mumford can be put into this shape. Okay. So the next thing I want to pay my attention to is canonical height associated to such a situation. Well, if K is a number field, or K a function field, you can using Tate's proof of the existence of canonical height on abelian variety, but it works very well. Tate's trick, let's say, you get that the limit of phi n of x over d to the n of h of phi n of x that I call H phi of X, what exists is finite, and because of the way it is, H phi of phi of X is D H phi of X. And if K is a, oh, that's too low. And if K is a number field, so the height for number field is the usual height by choosing an embedding. For function field, maybe I'll come back on it, it's the degree of some maps, maybe I should remind it. But, I want to say that so when K is a number field, you have that X is pre-periodic, K is equivalent to H theory x equals 0. You have a characterization in terms of canonical height of what is a pre-periodic point. But when k is a function field, that's not so easy, and as it stands, it's not true, but I'm going to tell you what happened. So first of all, let's be simple. Suppose we are, what's the height, right? The height of a point, if I have a point x, say in Pn of k, right, and k is the function field of a curve, so you transform that into a section which happens to be a map, right? So you will get a map Fx from C into Pn corresponding to this point, and the height of x is the degree of Fx up a star. And it's a decent height, but it does not satisfy what's called Northcott theorem. Which is the finiteness that the points of bounded height are in a finite sense. Actually, if you think a bit about it, when you bound the height, you bound the degree of a map, and actually you build some sort of Hilbert scheme or Chow variety. So there is some boundness, but it's not, if the field is not finite, it doesn't give a boundness of point. It gives something in a bounded family. In fact, bounded height gives bounded family.
The function field is not over a finite field?
No, not specially. If it's over a finite field, then you have the same Northcott theorem. And then the machine works, but otherwise... Well, first of all, you can see, just by the definition, if this is the degree of a map, if the map is constant, the degree is zero, right? So if you can make a lot of maps, of constant maps, so you're certainly not going to have a canonical height. I mean, canonical height being zero is not going to be meaning a lot, right? So the notion is isotrivial or trivial family. Isotrivial phi. Right. So right, so what's trivial? So when K is a function field, I would say that, and so X equal to X naught cross K, then I will say phi is trivial if there exists C naught, a self map of X zero, and C is C naught cross K. Right? If you can descend everything to small K, you'll say isotrivial. That means all this becomes true when you replace K by K prime of finite extent. You need the notion of isotrivial because things behave nicely in this vocabulary, not just by trivial. Right. So you see that if you have a trivial phi, you have plenty of points of canonical height zero, and there's no reason the torsion. There's plenty of points. Right. So it was natural to conjecture that was the only thing that happened, and this is true. So the theorem is that if you have those so K is a function field and I'll do characteristic zero just to be cautious, right? So I take X over K, a self map of X, polarized like we said, right? And I look at the set of points X in X such that H phi of X is zero. And it is a finite union of triperiodic subvariety of X which are isotrivial. This is a corollary of a theorem which has been proved by Ryshovsky and let me get the spelling. This collaboratrice Chatsi Dakis corollary of, we give a criterion and we essentially prove the following, that if you have y zero cross k, a dominant map to X, dominant separable, and you have self map, but the self map on y zero descends, right? You have a situation like that. If you dominate your dynamical system by a trivial dynamical system, right? Then X and phi is isotrivial. Maybe it's a time to give you the counterexample to that in characteristic P.
The theorem is a corollary of this.
Right, this is a difficult theorem. I mean, it's difficult for me because I can't read the proof. I've tried. I discussed that, you know, with Ryshovsky, and then he came 6 months after. there's model theory. You've tried to understand the thing. Right? Anyway. Right, so if you use that plus some algebraic geometry, which sorry. I don't think so. It's not even polarized. His statement is not even polarized. Right. I think it's not even polarized. Right, this is this different field theory. I just want to call your attention to what happened in character. So you can make variation characteristic zero in characteristic P, but what happened? The problem in characteristic P is that you have families of abelian varieties which are not isotrivial, but which become isotrivial after a radical isogeny. So if you have A over C and you have a radical map B to A, where B is isotrivial or even trivial, and you can have that already for surfaces, right? The product of two elliptic curves with an alpha p in it and super singular, and then you quotient by the diagonal alpha p, right? So it doesn't look isotrivial, but it's almost isotrivial. So you have plenty of points of torsion points here. Their canonical height is going to be zero, whatever you do to them, especially by an isogeny, right? So it's going to have a dense set of points which are of canonical height zero, even though this is not isotrivial. So, so we get naturally interested in trivial or isotrivial families. There's another notion that I should introduce is bad reduction. So the naive notion of bad reduction, which we're going to use actually, but I want to make some remark about it, is the bad reduction is how would I say? Well, so you have the discrete valuation ring, right? And you have K is a field of fraction. Right, and you have xk to xk, phi k, self map, like we look at, and you say that phi k has good reduction if it can be extended. You don't see down there? Again, phi k has good reduction if can be extended. send it to a model of XK over V. So model will be some X sitting over spec V, right, which generic fiber is my XK, right, and I want a self map phi which extend my map phi k. The best is to take the example of P1. The model is the model you think of. If you have you have phi is given by two polynomials, P over Q, homogeneous polynomial, right? They have no common zero, that's the condition for, over the algebraic closure, that's the condition for the map to be defined. So P, no common zero over K bar, and it has good reduction, or maybe I can say bad reduction. So bad reduction is when it's no good. Bad reduction, if they get a common zero over small k bar, which is the small k is the residual field. V. I don't know, I know that some. You can think of V at K double bracket T, right? And for T equals zero, you get over small K, and for general T, you get over big K.
Is that your theorem? Is that the model? Is that really the model of P1?
I know, it's because I got caught by the way I describe it. I should define good reduction for a given model. Colio? The good definition of good or bad reduction is for a given model. I don't have a better way of doing it. So when the model is the one you think of, this is it. You have to choose a model and say it has good reduction or not.
For example, does the N multiplication level of Hilbert
always have good reduction?
So you don't just want the map to extend,
the
polarized value.
The polarized will come.
That's not
a problem now. Does
the N multiplication
of Hilbert always have good reduction? No. Where the Abelian variety has bad reduction, it has bad. Oh, projective. Uh-huh. You're right. So, projective model. Smooth is not the problem. You're right. I mean, you could ask smooth. Well, you think of narrow model, right? So, narrow model is not projective. Right. So, for a curve, you have smooth projective. I mean, you don't have smooth, but you have projective. No, I ask projective. I think projective is this is the notion we're interested in, actually. You have two polynomials, you have no common root, do they get a root mod p? Yeah. Right. If they get a common root mod p, it's bad reduction. Right. And so have to be a, so you choose a model and you decide if, and you say it has good reduction. Actually, this notion is not even a good notion, but it's the first notion of good reduction. And if you apply it for an Abelian variety, this is the usual notion. Right. But we, with Tom Tucker, we have been forced to define a more refined notion of good reduction, which we call critical bad reduction. maybe I'll tell you what it is, but maybe I'll tell you, it allows us to prove Safarevich, Fontaine's finiteness theorem for self-map of Q1 for with given critical bad reduction. What is a so there was a conjecture of Safarevich in, I think, in 1956. It was not about endomorphism, it was about varieties which have bad behavior in a fixed set should be in a finite, finite list when you give precision to that, and that's the theorem that Fontaine proved to prove the Mordell conjecture before there was a second proof with Voigt. And if you look at bad reduction, the naive bad reduction I give you, this does not give such a theorem for very simple reason. Yeah, I should have said right away, for example, if your map from P1 to P1 is a polynomial map, that means Q is YQ is x to the d if it's homogeneous, otherwise it's 1 if it's non-homogeneous. So take phi of x equal p of x equal a0xd plus ad, where the ai's are in k, right? You can see that you have bad reduction at p, so we have a number field at p dividing a0. Right. Oh, I should have said that. When the map has bad reduction, actually it's because the degree is not right. If you factorize the things which are in common, then you get something with smaller degree. So when does the degree drop? Well, that's when the degree drops. So if you take p monic, there's no bad reduction, right? And you have no hope to prove that all the finiteness theorem for polynomial monic of just given the degree, right? There's not enough control to have a finiteness theorem. So it's not really the object of my talk. So we give a notion that uses the critical point of the map, and we call critical bad reduction, and we're able to prove a theorem like that. Right. So one is interested in canonical I0, isotriviality, bad reduction. And so you like to have some criterion for isotriviality. So we've been able to prove the following theorem. That's with Clay Petcher, Michael Pepper, and me. If you have a self-map of Pn over a function field. Potential good reduction is equivalent to isotriviality. So isotriviality, there was this business that we had to change the field a bit. Potential good reduction is the same thing. We speak of good reduction after we change the field. And I will explain technically what you have to do, actually. Oh yeah, when I said potential good reduction, it's over at all places, yeah. Right.
And when you say potential good reduction, is that supposed to be the opposite of this critical bad reduction, or bad reduction?
No, the naive bad reduction. Naive bad reduction. Well, I didn't go too much on critical. In good cases, critical included the naive bad reduction, but it's not always true, so I cannot say things like that. Right. Most of the time it's true. For example, for an elliptic curve, the notion all coincide. Right. Where is the chalk? Somewhere. Oh yeah. Right. I mean, there's one direction of this theorem which is easy, right? If you have something which is trivial, then if you have a Pnk small k to Pn small k, say C0, right? You take C0 cross 1k, and then you go Ck, which is a self map of Pnk, right? And so it gives you a map from Pn cross C to Pn cross C, Pn small k. Cross C, right, maybe I take C0 cross 1C, there's nothing that has more bad reduction, a good reduction than this, right? No? It's not convincing? So this has good reduction. I have the model, and I have extend the map. Right. So if the map is defined over a small field, it has good reduction everywhere. The theorem is the reciprocal. I mean, it's the reciprocal. And the proof uses invariant theory, geometric. Oh, actually, we give two proofs, geometric invariant theory. We give two proofs. We give a proof. Using dynamics over over a field with valuation, right? The local analysis, and we give a proof using invariant theory. I present you the proof using invariant theory. So both proofs use two things. One thing, so the product formula is that global function on the curve are constant, right? And And the second thing we use is Fakhruddin, that free periodic points are dense. How do we use it? I'm going to choose, and I will show after, P0, so I'm in Pn, so I want n plus 1 points in general position, pre-periodic and in general position. Right, so that means when I take n of them, they're linearly independent, but when I take one more, any, it's not in the subspace generated by any of them. So, and the density in Fakhruddin allows you to find that. So you have the space of endomorphism of degree D in Pn, E and D, which is what? Which is a sim D, right? Kn plus 1 to n to the power n plus 1. So, and you take the point. So it's contained in this, in the projective space defined by this vector space, right? I'm just saying I take n plus 1 polynomial with no, so actually, so it is contained projective space because not any set of n plus 1 polynomial is good, you need the resultant to be non-zero, so actually it's the complement of an hyperplane defined, it's complement. Resultant. I didn't give the technical definition of potential good reduction, but that's what happened. There's time to do it. So, C has potential good reduction. Over a ring, so it should be discrete valuation ring or whatever you look at. If there exists gamma in P, G, L, n plus 1, right, such that gamma phi gamma minus 1, right, as good reduction. Because if you have a map, the variables in Pn are not fixed, right? So if you change your system of variables, that's the way you will change the description of phi as a set of polynomials by this action. So actually you have PGL n plus 1 acts on NK this way. By conjugation. Huh? No, I mean this is a different sentence, I'm sorry. Potential good reduction is that. But I'm saying PGL n plus 1 acts on this space. Right? And when I give a map, I don't give the variables, I just give the map. So And so the theorem is that The theorem is like how is it called? I mean, the moduli space of such maps from Pn to Pn of degree d. The set of maps, right? So M Kn, Nk, Nd, M Nd, is an affine variety. Which is equal to the geometric quotient of and nd by the action. And to prove that, if you look in Mumford geometric invariant theory, you see what you have to prove, or it's enough to prove that the orbits are closed. And this will be proved if you prove the following thing, which is actually not so difficult. For any phi belonging to Pn like that, the stabilizer of phi is finite. And by geometric invariant theory, the lemma implies the theorem. And right, it's a geometric question. If you write and equal a spec of a certain ring A and D, then M and D is spec of the invariant of E and D. So it is what you expect. The difficulty in geometric invariant theory is when you cannot get that. But this lemma of finiteness allows you to prove that. And how do you get the lemma of finiteness? Exactly using those pre-periodic points that you have chosen. Right? If you have a pre-periodic point, and if you conjugate your phi by gamma, like we do, then you see you'll get another gamma axe from pre-periodic point by keeping their order, just moving them around. So you will have the stabilizer of phi. Anyway, the stabilizer of phi will will be in the kernel of the map from I just want to say the right thing. Right. Stupidly, you go to that, you get product of the permutations of pre-periodic point, periodic Ni. Right. So this is the point Pi is Cni of Pi is fixed for Phi. Ni of Pi, Phi Ni plus Ni of Pi. Right. And because of the discreteness of fixed points, the number of fixed points is always finite. So, Right, so this map is injective. Because if you have an automorphism who fixes those points, then it has to be the identity. Because there are n plus 1 in general positions, like 3 points in P1. Good? So that finishes the proof. Thank you.